This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen wa salatu wa salamu ala rasulihi Sayyidina Muhammadin wa ala alihi wa ashabihi wa azwajihi wa dhurriyatihi wa ahli baytihi wa man tabi'ahum bi ihsanin ila yawmid dini wa sallama tasliman kathiran kathira. Amma ba'd. Babu kayfiyat as-salam. Yustahabu an yaqula al-mubtadi'u bis-salami assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. فيأتي بالضمير الجمعي وإن كان المسلم عليه واحدا ويقول المجيب وعليكم السلام ورحمة الله وبركاته فيأتي بواو العطف في قوله وعليكم. The chapter regarding how to say salam. So Imam Nawawi رحمه الله تعالى, he makes a small foreword to this chapter from his own kalam. Usually he lets the Quran and Hadith do his talking, but every now and then he will add a little bit of extra explanation where it's warranted and appropriate. He said that it's recommended for the one who initiates salam to say Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. That's the optimal way of greeting a person. فَيَأْتِي بِالضَّمِيرِ الْجَمْعِ وَإِنْ كَانَ الْمُسَلَّمُ عَلَيْهِ وَاحِدًا. And a person will do so in the plural form. You say assalamu alaikum, the singular form would be assalamu alayka, assalamu alayki, and then the dual form would be assalamu alaykuma, the feminine plural form would be assalamu alaykunna. You're not going to use any of them. You'll use the mixed plural form, assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu, for reasons we mentioned before, because the salam includes, it includes the angels as well that are with a person, that are more than just two, as most people think. And the person who responds to that salam should say, wa alaykumus salam. You say wa alaykumus salam, not wa alaykumus salam. Wa alaykumus salamu wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. And this is another interesting thing, that grammatically speaking, you should say wa alaykum assalamu. Just like you say assalamu alaykum, there's a dhamma on the meme. Wa alaykum assalamu wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. If you're just going to stop at wa alaykum assalam, then there's a sukoon on the meme. If you're going to carry on and add wa rahmatullahi, and you're going to add wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu, you say wa alaykum assalamu wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. This is the proper way of saying it. You'll hear a lot of people make a mistake in this. They'll say wa alaykum assalam with a fatha on the meem, which is incorrect. You will especially hear this mistake from people who come from culturally Arab backgrounds but have not studied sarf or nahu. This is called sila, the meem ul jama'a, the meem that denotes a plural, antum, kum, hum. This meme has a sukoon, but also has a what they call a wasl with it. There's a dad or a wow that comes with it in poetry and in other places. And when there's ijtima'u sakinain and alif lam, and before it there's a sukoon, then that dhamma sound will come out of it. So you'll say wa alaykumus salam. That's why you say humul zalimun. You don't say humav zalimun, etc. When you read in the Quran, so it happens from time to time. Also, if you notice when we recite Quran in the prayer, if I'm reciting warsh or things like that, or say you'll say, for example, if there's a hamzat qata after the meem, then you'll say something like, فَلَهُمُ أَجْرٌ غَيْرُ مَمْنُونَ. So that's the same thing, that there's a wow or a dhamma that's there after every meem al jama'a. There's another narration which also comes from Medina, which is also narrated from Nafi', other than Warsh. It's called Qalun. And in Qalun, every single meme you'll read the sila. So you'll قُلْ يَا أَيُّهَا الْكَافِرُونَ لَا أَعْبُدُ مَا تَعْبُدُونَ وَلَا أَنْتُمُ عَابِدُونَ مَا أَعْبُدُ وَلَا أَنَا عَابِدٌ مَا عَبَدْتُمُ وَلَا أَنْتُمُ عَابِدُونَ مَا أَعْبُدُ لَكُمُ دِينُكُمُ وَلِيَدِينَ. So this is also This is also a qira'ah of the Quran because it's also a proper way of speaking Arabic. At any rate, here you'll say wa alaykum as-salam because there's the alif lam before the salam, and that's a sukoon, and the meme has a sukoon, so you'll see that dhamma come out of the meme. So you say wa alaykum as-salam, and you don't say alaykum as-salam. You say wa alaykum as-salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Wa an Imran ibn al-Husayn رضي الله تعالى عنهما قال جاء رجل إلى النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم فقال السلام عليكم فرد عليه ثم جلس فقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم عشر ثم جاء آخر فقال السلام عليكم ورحمة الله فرد عليه فجلس فقال عشرون ثم جاء آخر فقال السلام عليكم ورحمة السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته فرد عليه فجلس فقال الثلاثون رواه أبو داود والترمذي وقال حديث حسن. سيدنا عبران بن حسين رضي الله تعالى عنهما narrates that a man came to the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم and he said to him السلام عليكم. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam returned the salam either by saying assalamu alaykum or by saying assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. The narrators have some discussion of what must have the rad of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam have been. It probably was assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa alaykum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu wa alaykum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam answered him. He said assalamu alaykum. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam answered him, and then the man sat down. And then the Prophet ﷺ said 10. By the way, when we say the name of Rasulullah ﷺ and I say sallallahu alayhi wasallam, you should say sallallahu alayhi wasallam too. There's a great many of the muhaddithin, they reached quite a very high maqam in spiritually just because their job was to say salat and salam on the Prophet ﷺ again and again in the day. Despite the fact that they were concentrating on memorizing hadith and different pathways of narration, etc., etc., but when it comes to the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, whenever someone says salat and salam on me, Allah Ta'ala returns my ruh to me, and I answer that salat and salam. This is why the ulama say that saying salat and salam on the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is one of the out of the adhkar of Allah Ta'ala, the one that's guaranteed to be accepted whether you're mindful or unmindful, because the acceptance of it, part of it will be enhanced by your mindfulness, but if you're unmindful, the part that the Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam answers, that part is going to be accepted whether you're mindful or not. So at any rate, this person enters in and says Assalamu Alaikum. Sayyidina Rasulullah Alayhi Wasallam answered him, then he sat down. Then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said 10. Then another man came and said assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. And then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam answered him, and then he sat down, and then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said 20. Then another man came and said assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam answered him, and then he sat down, and then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said 30. Meaning what? The interpretation of this is that al-hasanatu bi ashri amthaliha, every good deed is rewarded 10 times at 10 times its worth. So by saying assalamu alaikum, you get 10 rewards. How many rewards you get, Aisha? How many, Abdullah? 10. If you say assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi, how many you get? 20. And if you say assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, how many do you get?
30.
So that was pretty easy, wasn't it? So, does it make sense that you should say Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh? Because that's pretty easy swab from Allah Ta'ala, right? Yeah. Right? And it didn't cost you anything, and your mama didn't yell at you or your baba, and you didn't have to go to your room and, like, you didn't have to take out garbage, and you didn't have to, like, you know, take laundry downstairs. It was pretty easy, wasn't it? How many rewards? 30. Okay. Said hadith narrated by Abu Dawud and Tirmidhi, and he said hadithun hasan. An Sayyidatina Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha qala li Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, hadha Jibreel yaqra'u alayki salam, قالت قلت وعليه السلام ورحمة الله وبركاته متفق عليه وهكذا وقع في بعض روايات الصحيحين وبركاته في بعضها بحذفها وزيادة الثقة مقبولة. So this is a hadith in which Sayyidah Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was with her. And Sayyidina Jibreel came to him sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to the Sayyidina Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha that Jibreel says, brings his salams or recites his salam to, upon you. And Sayyidina Aisha radiallahu anha then replied, wa alayhi salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Jibreel says, assalamu alayki. He says, salam to you. He says, assalamu alayki to you, ya Aisha. And she said, what? Wa alaykum assalam wa rahmatullahi, sorry, wa alayhi assalamu wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. And on him be peace and the mercy of Allah Ta'ala and his barakat as well. And this is what? This is a hadith in which there's a number of important considerations. One is one of the reasons who say the Aisha, who somebody is named after. One of the reasons say the Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave her so much attention from amongst the wives, so much so that even say the Sauda bint Zama'a, one of the wives of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in order to make him happy, she gave her turn up to him, up to her. Said, my turn, you can spend it with Aisha. Why is it the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, one of many reasons that he had a preference for Aisha, not a preference in his treatment of his wives because he treated them equally, but the legal responsibility for a man who has many wives is that he should treat them equally in terms of the time that he spends with them, in terms of nights, and in terms of how he, you know, if he buys a gift for one, he has to buy a gift for others. These are all like material and very legalistic treatments. There's no obligation in the heart to love everybody equally because it wouldn't even be possible even if a person wanted to do it. And that much is even recognized in the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that you're not going to be able to be equal that much with your wives. And so, why is it that Sayyidah Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha had this maqam with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam above the other wives? Perhaps the only wife that had a maqam above her in the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam's heart was Sayyidah Khadija radiallahu ta'ala anha, and he told her that one time. But why did she have such a high maqam amongst the Azwaj Mutahharat radiallahu ta'ala anhunna wa Ummahatul Mu'mineen radiallahu ta'ala anhunna? Is one of the reasons, and I think which is the main reason, is that the wahi used to come down more when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was with her than with any of the other wives. And there's great hikmah. Why is that the case? Allah knows best. But what are some benefits of it? There's great hikmah in it. Sayyidah Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha by far was the youngest of the wives of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. She was very young when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam married her. She was 9 years old when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam married her. And now there's all this other like cultural baggage that people are going to bring up about this, that, and the other thing. The fact of the matter is, not only was it very normal, it's still very normal in many parts of the world, and it's very normal for all of us. You say, "What am I? I'm not going to marry a 9 year old." Yes, don't do it because you're going to end up in jail. And if you don't want to do it, you don't have to do it, right? The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam wasn't, you know, his nubuwa is not there to tell you what age of a person to marry. His nubuwa is there to give you salvation with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But the idea is what? Is that all of us, I challenge every one of you, go home and like see three generations up in your own family. You know, how old was our foremothers when they bore children? All of them were very young. I mentioned this in Dars before, there was one Mufti Abdullah Nana went and visited Mawlana Latifur Rahman Behraichi, he's a muhaqqiq and muhaddith in Makkah Mukarrama, and he asked him, that I'm looking for the riwayat regarding the age of Sayyidah Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, and, is this, this riwayah? What about this riwayah? What about that riwayah? What about this, that, and the other thing? And so he answered all of his questions. And then the sheikh, he said to Mufti Abdullah, he says, I'll give you a dalil you won't, or a dalil you won't find anywhere else. He goes, what's that? He says, my mother, forget about consummating her marriage, that my mother bore me when she was 9 years old. Okay, so at this point, it's one of those things. Look, there's two things, I mention this all the time. Polygamy and child marriage, they're completely culturally like offensive to people nowadays. It's fine. If you don't want to do it, you don't have to do it. Nobody's forcing you, putting a gun to your head or saying you're a bad Muslim if you don't do it. But don't be like too cool for school and like, oh, act like this is some sort of immoral something or another. All of our forefathers did it. So you can either accept that, mashallah, Western liberal white people are like the singularity from which virtue emanates, and we were all animals before they taught us how to live. Or you can be like, yeah, you know, people did it because it suited their lifestyle. If it suits my lifestyle, there wouldn't be anything wrong with it. And if it doesn't, that's fine as well. Because this is not a matter of wahi. This is not a moral issue. This is not a moral issue. But at any rate, Sayyidina Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, what's the hikmah of her? She's far. The point that we got distracted with the tangent with is what? She's the youngest of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam's wives. What is a big hikmah in her? The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the sunan of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam being revealed, and the wahi being revealed to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam when he's with her, is that she's the one who will by far like live for a very long time, and she's the one that will be one of the mukathirin bir riwayah, the ones that narrate so many hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the four narrators that by far narrate more hadith than anybody else. Sayyidina Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu, Sayyidina Abu Sa'id al-Khudri radiallahu ta'ala anhu, Sayyidina Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, and Sayyidina Abdullah ibn Amr ibn al-Asi radiallahu ta'ala anhum. They're the ones that the majority of the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, I wouldn't say majority, but I would say that they're the top four narrators by far, like by a long shot, compared to the other hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam that are narrated. It's from them. And amongst those four, there are many things Sayyidina Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha was privy to that nobody else was, because she saw Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam inside the home. And so there's great hikmah with it. And so inasmuch as the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, the thing that made him Rasulullah, the thing that made him the Sayyidul Kawnain is what? Is the wahi that he received sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Inasmuch as that wahi was, what made him who he was, he receives it more when he's with her. And that's a source of happiness for him, and it's a reason that she's also somebody that when she's around, it's a source of happiness for Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This is why the believers love Sayyidina Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, and this is why having a rust in your heart for her radiallahu ta'ala anha is a sign of nifaq. So this hadith is within that context, right? Is that Sayyidina Jibreel came to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and that's what do you think is the maqam of Sayyidina Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, Sayyidina Khadija radiallahu anha? This happened as well. The Sayyidina Jibreel came and said salam to Sayyidina Khadija as well, and he said salam to Sayyidina Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha as well. And she, with great adab, said, "Wa alayhi salamu wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu." She read the entire greeting back to him, alayhi salam. In certain narrations, it comes that she said, "Wa rahmatullah." In certain narrations, it says, "Wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu." Wa ziyadatu thiqati maqbulatun. Imam Nawawi radiallahu ta'ala anhu, rahimahullah, he comments that when you have two narrations of the same hadith or the same incident, and a thiqah is like the top level of narrator, right? Thiqah is like a firm narrator, a trustworthy narrator. When that top level of narrator narrates the same hadith that other people do, but he narrates some more words with it, then the extra words that are narrated by that thiqah, by that trustworthy narrator, they're accepted. Why? Because there are certain narrations that fall short because the narrators have doubt about the words. Was it narrated like this or like that? So if a muhaddith has a doubt, is it wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh or wa rahmatullah? Well, in both cases, wa rahmatullah is there, wa barakatuh, there's some doubt about it. So they'll just narrate what they know and they'll just stop. It doesn't necessarily mean that the speech or the incident stopped, but they only narrated that part of the incident up until that they were 100% sure, and if they had some doubt about it, they would stop. And so if one of the upright and trustworthy narrators is completely sure that the extra is there, that's acceptable. They consider that also. They don't consider that to be weak, that why is this only one guy narrating this and all the other people are not narrating. If he's an upright narrator, they know he's not going to narrate the extra unless he is 100% sure that that's also part of the hadith as well. So this is a kind of a rule in usul hadith. Ziyadatu thiqati maqbul. Maqbula, I should say. And there's a narration in Bukhari as well of this incident. And Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha qalat, tara ma la nara ya Rasulullah, innahu yara al-malika hina idhin wala wa hiya la tarahu. And she commented that the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam at that point, she had commented to him after saying salam to the angel Jibreel alayhi salam. She commented that, Ya Rasulullah, you see what we don't see. Meaning says that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam saw the angel Jibreel say that Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha could not see him. And it is possible for a person even who's not a Nabi to see an angel, but she didn't see the angel at that time. This should remind us of something Allah Ta'ala says in His book. He says, وَمَا مُحَمَّدٌ أَبَا أَحَدٍ مِّن رِجَالِكُمْ وَلَكِنْ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ وَخَاتْمُ النَّبِيِّينَ. That Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam is not the father of any of your men. Meaning your connection to him or your respect for him is not a normal connection or respect. Rather, he is what? He is the messenger of Allah and the seal of the prophets. Meaning Allah Ta'ala sent him with his message, and you believe him, and he says and you obey. There's no, you know, it's not like a friend type relationship or even a human type of hierarchical relationship. And the Sahaba radiallahu anhum, that's how they were with him sallallahu alayhi wasallam. That's how they were with him sallallahu alayhi wasallam, that he would say something, they would believe him, and that's why they were the khairul qurun, the best of generations, because they believed him sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And if he was a liar, it wouldn't have worked out. But I think it worked out pretty well for them, don't you? They seem to have done okay, mashallah. Alhamdulillah, mashallah. Because nobody's going to be reading books about you and me and like debating about the 20 narrators that we said something one time and what the wisdom and hikmah is. Because there's not a whole lot of wisdom or hikmah in really much of what we do, to be very frank with you. Allah Ta'ala have mercy on us. وعن سيدنا أنس رضي الله تعالى عنه أن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم كان إذا تكلم بكلمة أعادها ثلاثا حتى يفهم عنه وإذا أتى على قوم فسلم عليهم سلم ثلاثا رواه البخاري وهذا محمول على ما إذا كان الجمع كثيرا. So it's narrated, سيدنا أنس رضي الله تعالى عنه narrates that the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, when he would speak, he would repeat things three times. You'll see that the kalam of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam is oftentimes very simple and very direct, and he would repeat it again and again often. And this is what? Because he's a Nabi of everybody, of the Ummiyin as well. So he was very careful to make sure everybody understood what he was talking about. And so one of the techniques he would use is he would repeat things that he said three times. And he didn't have long and aesthetically chiseled discourses. Rather, the things he said were very simple, to the point, and he would often repeat things that he said, and it helped people to remember, you know, what he was saying or get the point. And if he came to a large group of people and would say salam to them, he would say salam three times. This doesn't mean like you come to like a party and there's like 20 people and you're like, assalamu alaikum, assalamu alaikum, assalamu alaikum, you're it. You know, it's not like that. It's like when there's a real large group of people and not everyone will hear. He would repeat the salam every now and then three times as well. This is something I could also use, because when I unfortunately I don't really like listen to myself when I talk. But like in bayans and something, so like I got bored one place, so I listened to my own bayan on SoundCloud. I noticed one thing: I talk really fast, and I don't repeat anything I say. And people are probably like, "What is this guy talking about?" But khair. So that's not the, you know, do as I say, not as I do, I guess, right? The Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam spoke slowly, clearly, and he would repeat things that bore repetition. He would repeat them 3 times. وعن المقداد بن الأسود الكندي رضي الله تعالى عنه في حديثه الطويل قال كنا نرفع للنبي صلى الله عليه وسلم نصيبه من اللبن فيجيء من الليل فيسلم تسليما لا يوقظ نائما ويسمع اليقذان فجاء النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم فسلم كَمَا كَانَ يُسَلِّمُ رَوَاهُ مُسْلِمُ. And this is about the adab and, like, frankly, just like common sense that the Prophet ﷺ carried himself with. Sayyidina Miqdad bin Aswad radiallahu ta'ala anhu narrates as a snippet of a longer hadith that he said that we used to give to the Prophet ﷺ a portion of the milk when we'd milk our animals, right? What time do you milk animals? Huh?
Early morning.
Isha is when the camels, if you want to milk camels, Isha is the time. That's the time that the animals, that's the time when the animals are like, okay, you can do this. Because you have to understand, if you're milking a cow or you're milking a camel, you know, being fellow mammals, we can sympathize with the probability that being milked is not, it's somewhat of an invasive type procedure, right? So if the animal doesn't like you, or if they're not ready or prepared or comfortable, you could end up getting kicked in the face, and getting kicked in the face by like a cow is probably going to hurt quite a bit. So the time that the animals are like, okay, fine, whatever, as far as the milking is concerned, generally is at Isha time, meaning a little bit after the sunset, but before it's time to go to sleep. So he said that we used to milk the animals, and this is actually one thing, the Bedouins, when they became Muslim, when they accepted Islam in large numbers, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam gave special instructions to the Sahaba that the time for milking, the word for that time is atama. The Bedouins call it atama. Atama is the time of the night when like the first third of the night is gone, when the animals are comfortable being milked. And so they just started calling Isha, because that's the time that Isha comes in. They just started calling Isha Salatul Atama. And so that was one of his special instructions, that don't let the Bedouins mess with you on this. Insist on calling it Isha, because that's the actual name of the prayer. So he said that we used to send to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, or set aside for the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, a share or his share from the milk that we would milk from our animals. So he came one night and he said salam to us in such a way that it didn't wake up the one who was already asleep, because it's nighttime. It didn't wake up the one who was already asleep, but the one who was still awake would still hear it. And so he came and he did that in this one incident that he was narrating, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So there's a couple of things. One, Islam is important, so do it. B, don't be like, use Islam to like annoy the snot out of other people. Because look, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, if it was one of those things that's like, you know, jihad fi sabilillah, busting, you know, with like a sword in each hand or whatever, he would have woke everyone up and like not been, you know, and someone said, I was sleeping, he said, the haq, I'm going to say the haq anyway. It's not something that you're supposed to, you know, go in like that, like, you know, guns blazing, but like in classical Arabic, no. Just say the salam. He had enough tact, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He said it loud enough that the people who were awake would hear, but not so loud that the people who weren't awake would wake up. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And this is also another thing, that people used to go to sleep at that time. It's a sunnah to go to sleep right after Isha. If you have some light things that you need to take care of them, go right to sleep after Isha. This is one of the things we're so horrible about. We're like, I'm like the guiltiest of everybody. But the fact of the matter is, in, you know, if your sleep cycle is not correct, your sleep pattern is not correct, it's going to mess up all these other things in your health. You're going to have all this like cortisol stress hormone in your bloodstream all the time. It's going to make your diabetes worse. It's going to make your soft tissue degenerate, your digestive system, all this other sicknesses. Your body has a, you know, ways of treating itself from all sorts of diseases without having to take a medical doctor's prescriptions. And, you know, they're only prescribing you that stuff because the pharmaceutical company takes them out to dinner like twice a year, or like for a vacation in Mexico or God knows what, which would be nice. I officially declare that I have no qualms with taking vacation in Mexico. It's just that I don't want to like make another man rich taking drugs that really I don't need, because I probably should just go to sleep after Salat al-Isha, for that stuff. There's certain times that the body... because the body's aware, it doesn't matter what shift you are, you can't get used to being awake at night. There's certain times the body needs sleep. The body's aware of when the sun is out. It's aware of when all these things happen. The sleep that you have, if you get 5 hours of sleep or 6 hours or 8 hours of sleep at different times, it's of different qualities. The sleep after Asr and the sleep after Fajr is not so useful. The sleep right after the most beneficial sleep in the day is the sleep that's right after Isha. So I just heard somebody forwarded me someone telling a story about Hazrat Sheikh Zakaria rahimahullah ta'ala, that he said that 1 hour of sleep directly after praying Isha will give you the rest that 3 hours of sleep in another time won't be able to give you. And it's something that, we've experienced before. One thing that will mess with that is all this artificial lighting and looking at your phone too long. So, you know, push the button, connect the dots. عن سيدتنا أسماء بنتي يزيد رضي الله تعالى عنها أن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم مر في المسجد يوما وعصبة من النساء قعود فألوى بيده بالتسليم رواه الترمذي وقال حديث حسن وهذا محمول على أنه صلى الله عليه وسلم جمع بين الألفاظ والإشارة ويؤيده أن في رواية أبي داود فسلم علينا. So hadith of Sayyida Asma bint Yazid رضي الله تعالى عنها, that the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم once passed by the masjid and a large crew or group of women were sitting, and so he waved with his hand, he flagged with his hand to say salam. And Nawawi, Imam Nawawi rahimahullah tabarak wa ta'ala, his opinion was that not only did he wave, he also said salam as well. And and there's a narration that's in Abu Dawood in which it says Fasallam alayna, meaning that he also said salam. But I assume that the fact that he even mentions that means that it is a difference of opinion. وعن سيدنا أبي جري الهجيمي قال أتيت رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم فقلت عليك السلام يا رسول الله قال لا تقل عليك السلام فإن عليك السلام تحية الموتى رواه أبو داود والترمذي وقال حديث حسن صحيح وقد سبق لفظه بطوله. It's a hadith that we narrated, we read before in Dars as well. And Nawawi, Imam Nawawi rahimahullah ta'ala, he mentions that it's a repetition. That Abu Jurayh al-Hujaymi, he said that I came to the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and I said, alayka salamu ya Rasulullah. So on the surface of it, it's the same thing. Assalamu alayka salam. It's the same thing. You just switch the order up. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, don't say alayka salam. Because alayka salam is the greeting of the dead. It is the greeting of the dead. Babu adab salami ibn nadri ila muaddihi wal mubarada bihi. This is a chapter of the adab or the etiquettes of salam. Before the chapter of how to give salam, this is a chapter of the other etiquettes of salam, the proper way of going about giving salam, looking at both the one who's giving the salam and then also the one who is carrying the salam. So you can say, send my salam to so-and-so. What are the etiquettes of that? An Sayyidina Abi Huraira radiallahu ta'ala anhu, anna Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam qala, يسلم الراكب على الماشي والماشي على القاعد والقليل على الكثير متفق عليه وفي رواية للبخاري والصغير على الكبير. Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala anhu narrates that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said the rider should greet the one who is walking. The rider should greet the one who is walking. And the one who is walking should greet the one who is sitting. And the smaller group should greet the larger group. And in the narration of Bukhari, it's added that the younger one should greet the older. And Allahu Alam, you know, but possibly some of the hikmah in this is that the rider is in such a position that... you know, it's from his rahmah that he should have on the person who's walking, that he shows them respect. Just like that, the person who is walking should likewise show respect for the person who's sitting, also for practical reasons that the person who's sitting may not see the one who's walking. And the smaller group should greet the bigger group. It should acknowledge the bigger group, and the younger should greet the elder because of the general including of respecting elders and good akhlaq. Of respecting elders and good akhlaq. MashaAllah, somebody made amal on this. Someone drive-by salamed me today. I was in a parking lot. They come up real close, scared the daylights out of me, rolled down their window and said, salam. Allah, MashaAllah. I was like, did I wear blue today? What's going on? But khair. An Abi Umamata radiallahu ta'ala anhu Suday ibn Ijlan al-Bahili. Qala Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam inna awla al-nasi billahi. من بدأهم بالسلام رواه أبو داود بإسناد جيد ورواه الترمذي عن أبي أمامة قيل يا رسول الله رجلان يلتقيان أيهما بدأ بالسلام قال أولاهما بالله تعالى قال الترمذي حديث حسن. سيدنا أبو أمامة سدي بن عجلان الباهلي. أبو أمامة الباهلي is a well-known companion of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He said that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, the one who's closest to Allah ta'ala, ola is what? Right? Like kabir means what? What does akbar mean? Al akbar means the biggest. Akbar means what? Bigger, right? So who's a wali? He's a friend of Allah ta'ala. And who's ola? He's even walier than the wali is. Okay, so I'm trying to put the reason. I mean, obviously, this is kind of a weird way of saying it, but this sometimes you, because English doesn't have like sarf, so sometimes you can say things funny, but like you'll exactly like understand what the point is. The waliest person of Allah Ta'ala, the one who's the most wali of Allah Ta'ala, ola, inna ola nas, inna ola nasi billah, the one who has the most wilaya with Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala is the one who. Starts the salam, who says the salam first. And the context of this hadith is another narration, because this is the narration of Abu Dawud. The context of this hadith is another narration, which is in Tirmidhi, also from Sayyidina Abu Umama radiallahu ta'ala anhu. It's asked, O Messenger of Allah, two men meet with one another, and obviously it's not just, it has to do with men, because Rajul is the one who discharges his responsibilities. And in that sense, you know, I mentioned it before in Dars, I think, that the Sifa of Rujula has been also described. There have been women who've been described with it. There are many males who lack it, and there are some females that have it as well. That when two men meet one another, which one of them should begin the salam? And so the question is like, what should be the older? Should be the one riding? Should that's the type of answer they're trying to look for? Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam trying to tell the answer something different. They're trying to ask who should give the salam first, right? Should the person who's richer? Should the person who's whatever? From Quraysh, whatever. What are they looking for? They're looking for some rule like that. So they ask two men meet one another, who should begin or who should say salam first? And because that's also part of that is the culture of Jahiliyyah as well, that they were accustomed to from before their Islam, which is all about what? It's all about posturing and showing how big you are and how tough you are and just doing all this kind of macho-like showing off and things like that. The person who postures well and enters the room in such a way that like he asserts his authority, that person is like a very, that person is like a real, like, you know, he's a real tough dude. The one who's tougher than him, who didn't care. Because he's like, you know, what am I going to get from you people? When was the last time you met a group of donkeys, five or more donkeys, and you tried to gain their respect? You're like, okay, they're donkeys. I'm going to go stand over there now, right? Anyway, so khair, so the Prophet says, Jahiliyyah, don't worry about all that stuff. So they asked, who is the, which, when two men meet each other, which one should begin with salam? He said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the one who has more wilaya with Allah ta'ala. Olahuma billahi ta'ala, the one who has more wilaya with Allah Most High, whichever one that is, that one can go ahead and say salam first. When you put it that way, it's kind of like, yeah, I want to do it. MashaAllah. Babu istihbabi i'adati salami ala man takarrara liqa'uhu ala qaribin bi an dakhala thumma kharaja thumma dakhala fi al-hali aw hala baynahuma shajaratun aw nahwuha. The chapter with regards to the preference to repeat salam to the person who you meet again and again, even if it's like after a very short separation, like someone went in and then came out and then went in, at one time, or two people are walking and a tree comes between them or something like that. So long chapter name. And Sayyidina Abi Hurairah radiallahu ta'ala anhu fi hadith al-musi'i salatahu annahu ja'a rajulun fasalla thumma ja'a ila nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam fasallama faradda alayhi salam faradda alayhi salama faqala arji' fasalli fa innaka lam tusalli faraja'a fasalla thumma ja'a fasallama ala nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam hatta fa'ala dhalika thalatha marat. Sayyidina Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu, it's a snippet of a longer hadith, which also I remember we read here in the Ribat actually, regarding the person who wasn't praying well, the person who wasn't praying praying properly. That he came to the, a man came and he prayed, then he came to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and said salam to him, and the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam replied to the salam, and then he said, go back and pray because you didn't pray. And then he came back, he went back and he prayed, and then he came to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam once more and said salam, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam responded, and this whole thing happened three times. Meaning what? They're all in the same place. It's not like they're separated by a whole like huge distance or whatever. It's just that he went to pray, but that was enough to warrant saying salam again. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, go pray again, you didn't pray properly. He didn't say, why are you saying salam again? That's the I guess, Imam Nawawi's point in including this. وَعَنْهُ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُ عَنَ النَّبِيِّ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ قَالَ إِذَا لَقِيَ أَحَدُكُمْ أَخَاهُ فَلْيُسَلِّمْ عَلَيْهِ فَإِنْ حَالَتْ بَيْنَهُمَا شَجَرَةٌ أَوْ جِدَارٌ أَوْ حَجَرٌ ثُمَّ لَقِيَهُ فَلْيُسَلِّمْ عَلَيْهِ رواه أبو داود. Abu Hurairah radiallahu ta'ala who narrates that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, if one of you should meet his brother, then let him say salam to him. And if there should intervene between the two of them a tree or a wall or a large rock, and then then you see each other again, then say salam again. And this is a known habit of the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum. It's a known habit of the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum. Inshallah, we'll mention it again at the time, but since mashallah, we have mashallah, a very Haram Sharifi crew up in here, I may as well mention the mas'ala. When you're in ihram, this is also the importance of the talbiyah and ihram, labbaik, Allahumma labbaik, which mashallah, I guess a lot of Americans are too cool for, because they don't really do it a whole lot. They like do it in the beginning, and then they're like, hey, you know, this and that and other thing. That's totally irrelevant to why you're there. For God's sakes, you're in the middle of the desert wearing two sheets of cloth. You one would think you'd get the message that you're supposed to be doing something else right now. But whatever. Mashallah, Samarka, you know? We carry a little bit of it wherever we go. I, for one, am oftentimes embarrassed and tell people I was like, where are you from? Where are you? And I'm in Pakistan. I don't know these guys. Which is not a recommendation. If you are proud to be American, that's okay. You know, and I was born here. I'm not from Pakistan. They won't let me into their country without a visa. So I guess in some ways it's not entirely true. But the point is that the talbiyah is important. The talbiyah is important, and the dalil of its importance is what? Is the sunnah is when you're in ihram, that when two people meet each other who are in ihram, they should, on the occasion of meeting each other, both of them should say the talbiyah first, and then they say salam to each other. So all this importance for salam, then that means that when you're in ihram, the talbiyah is that much more important. Babu istihbab as-salami ala, idha dakhala baytahu. قال الله تعالى فإذا دخلتم بيوتا فسلموا على أنفسكم تحية من عند الله مباركة طيبة. The chapter with chapter regarding the recommendation of saying salam when a person enters their own house. Allah Most High says, if you enter into houses, then say salam to yourself or upon yourself. As a greeting from Allah Ta'ala, which is blessed and pure. And the sunnah is what? That when a person enters into their own home, and if someone's home, you say salamu alaikum to the people who are home. But like when you guys get home, Baba's not home, you guys just get home from school or whatever, and you're the first one to run through the door, what are you supposed to do? You're supposed to say, look at me, you're supposed to say assalamu alayna wa ala ibadillahi salihin, like you'd say in the salat. What do you say? Assalamu alayna? No, don't finish it. Say it. Assalamu alayna? Wa ala? Smile, did you know that? Say it. Assalamu alayna? Oh, you tell your Baba on your way home, okay? In the car, you say it to him then, okay? You'll say it to him? Okay. Assalamu alayna wa ala ibadillahi salihin. Just like it's in the tashahud and the prayer as well, right? And that's Allah Ta'ala says, say it, and then consider it a greeting from Allah Ta'ala for you. That's mubarak and tayyib. That's blessed and is pure. An Anas radiallahu ta'ala anhu, qala li Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, ya bunayya, idha dakhalta ala ahlika fasallim, yakun barakatan alayka wa ala ahli baytik. Rawahu al-Tirmidhi wa qala hadithun hasanun sahih. Said Anas radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he said that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to me. And so Sayyidina Anas radiallahu ta'ala anhu was 7 years old when Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made the hijrah to Medina Munawwara, and then he served the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam for 7 years. He was a servant of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He'd be sent to the house for 7 years. He'd be sent to the house just to help, you know, with the chores of the household. And so he said that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to me, oh dear son, When you enter your own house and enter upon your own family, then say salam to them, because it will be blessings on you and blessings on the members of your household. Babu salami ala sibyan. An Anas radiallahu ta'ala anhu annahu marra ala sibyan and fasallama alayhim wa qala kana Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam yaf'aluhu. Muttafaqun alayhi. Sayyidina Anas radiallahu ta'ala anhu, again, one of the Mukathirin fil hadith. I think I erroneously said Abdullah bin Amr bin As radiallahu ta'ala anhuma earlier. It's Anas bin Malik radiallahu anhu is the fourth. Aisha, Anas, Abu Huraira, and Abu Sa'id al-Khudri radiallahu ta'ala anhum ajma'in. Sayyidina Anas radiallahu anhu, and he knows these things. Why? So what does he say? He says that this hadith narrated from Sayyidina Anas radiallahu anhu that he passed some children and he said salam to them. And he said the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam also used to do that. How would he know? Because he was a kid. He was a kid who the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was saying salam to. So then he grew up and Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said salam to him. Sorry, so he would say salam to the children just like Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to as well. Because every now and then a person may pass by someone or because of their age or their economic status or whatever it is, and they think that this person is not worth my time saying salam to them. Think again. Babu salamu rajuli ala zawjatihi wal mar'ati min maharimihi wa ala ajnabiyatin wa let's see. وَأَجْنَبِيَّاتٍ لَا يَخَافُ الْفِتْنَةَ بِهِنَّ وَسَلَامُهُنَّ بِهَذَا الشَّرْطِ. This is a chapter with regards to a man saying salam to his wife or to a woman from his maharim, his unmarriageable kin, or on a woman who is not from his unmarriageable kin, or several women who are not from the unmarriageable kin, on the condition that there is no fitna in their salam, no intention that would be mixed with something other than just saying salam for the sake of Allah Ta'ala, and they're saying salam back only on this condition. عن سهل بن سعد رضي الله تعالى عنه قال كانت فينا امرأة أو فينا امرأة وفي رواية كانت لنا عجوز تأخذ من أصول السلق فتطرحه في القدر تكركر حبات من شعير وتكركر حبات من شعير فإذا صلينا الجمعة انصرفنا نسلم عليها فتقدمه إلينا رواه البخاري رضي الله تعالى عنه وقوله تكركر أي تطحن. سيدنا سهل بن سعد رضي الله تعالى عنه, he said that there was amongst us a woman, and in a different narration, that there was amongst the Muslims an old woman who used to take the roots of a plant and then put it in a pot and cook it with smashed grains of barley, and when we'd pray Jumu'ah and we'd leave, we would say salam to her, and then she would offer it to us. She would offer it to us. Meaning she cooked for the people who came to the masjid. The old woman cooked for the people who came to the masjid. So the idea that she was a woman, she was not a mahram, but because she was an old woman who there was no fitna or anything like that from, that they used to say salam to her, and she would say salam back, and that was a good thing. That was not a bad thing. وَعَنْ أُمِّ هَنِئٍ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ تَعَالَى عَنْهَا فَاتِخَةَ بنتي أبي طالب رضي الله تعالى فاتخة بنتي أبي طالب قالت أتيت النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم يوم الفتح وهو يغتسل وفاطمة عليه السلام تستره فسلمت وذكرت الحديث رواه مسلم. So this is a snippet of a longer hadith. Hani is the sister فاتخة, the daughter of Abu Talib. She's his full sister Sayyidina Ali رضي الله تعالى عنه. That she accepted Islam on the day of the Fath, when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam came when he conquered Makkah Mukarramah. And this is a long hadith. This is the hadith in which the Salat al-Duha of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is taken. That when she entered under the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was making ghusl. He was taking a purificatory bath. And Sayyidah Fatima radiallahu anha, his daughter, was holding up a cloth to screen him from being seen while he was doing this. She said salam to him, and he returned her salam. So she's his cousin. He's at this time over 60 years old, and he returned her. And she's also presumably an old woman at that time, and he returns her salam. And it means that it's not mutlaqan haram to say salam to somebody who's not a mahram relative. And so he's using this as a dalil for that. And then afterward, when the Prophet ﷺ is done, he'll pray. She said, then after I spoke to him, I accepted Islam and then spoke to him. And then after that, he prayed the Salat al-Duha so many raka'at. This is the Ummu Hani bint Abi Talib. She's the one who narrates this, the hadith of the Salat al-Duha of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. One Sayyidatina Asma'a binti Yazida radiallahu ta'ala anha qalat marra alayna al-Nabiyyu sallallahu alayhi wa sallam fi niswatin fa sallama alayna. رواه أبو داود والترمذي قال حديث حسن وهذا لفظ أبي داود ولفظ الترمذي أن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم مر في المسجد يوما وعصبة من النساء قعود فألوى بيده بالتسليم. This is again a hadith we read just a couple of minutes ago. This is a hadith that we read just a couple of minutes ago, narrated by Sayyidah Asma bint Yazid radiallahu ta'ala anha. She said that the Prophet ﷺ passed by us, a group of women, and he said salam. And in that's the narration of Tirmidhi, and the narration of Abu Dawud is that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he passed by the masjid one day, and there was a group of women who were sitting, and he raised his hand. He flagged his hand and as if to say, he flagged his hand in order to say salam to them. Are there any questions? Go ahead. What was that? No, you say assalamu alaikum, right? Yes. If you're just going to say assalamu alaikum. If you're going to add to it, uh-huh. Then you say assalamu alaikum. Sorry, wa alaikum assalam. If you're just going to stop there, you stop there. But if you're going to add to it, you say wa alaikum assalam. You don't say wa alaikum assalam. Mm-hmm. Wa alaikum assalamu wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. The meme has a dhamma on it. You put a dhamma on the meme if there's going to be an alif lam afterward. And so some people will put like a fatha on it. That's a mistake. That's a mistake of somebody who hasn't like read sarf or qira'at or something like that.
Okay, second question. You said whenever we send salam to the Prophet, we should always do it. But if you're in the same gathering, should we repeatedly do it? Alhamdulillah,
it's okay. But should we repeatedly? The salat and salam of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, it comes in the narration that if a person, all they were to do other than their fard acts of prayer to say salat and salam on the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that if you do that, it will take care of all of your worries and all of your woes and protect you from this and that, and it's a whole list of fadail for it. So a person, as many times as they say salat and salam on the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the better. As far as adab is concerned, if you're saying like a sentence or a paragraph or reading something, at least the first time the mention of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam's name is there, you should say sallallahu alaihi wasallam. After that, it's mustahab, it's recommended. So you don't have to get up on someone if they just say the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam the first time, and then they say the Prophet this, the Prophet that afterward. You don't have to get up on people for that. But the optimal way of doing it is that whenever mention is made, that you say sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And if that's again and again, that's good. And it's both the speaker and the one who's listening, so much so to the point that in the Jum'ah khutbah, there's the fuqaha from amongst them, there are those who say that you can say sallallahu alaihi wasallam softly to yourself. That's not considered speaking during the Jum'ah khutbah. And then you can obviously check with whatever your local mufti sahib and see, is that what we follow or not. But the point is that there's a discussion about that being exempted at the bare minimum. And that this is the barakah of sitting in the majalis of the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, is you get to say the salat and salam again and again and again. Yeah, but you don't say it out loud. Just say it softly to yourself, like when you're in the prayer, you say Subhana Rabbil A'la or whatever. Uh-huh. Just like that, soft. You just say Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam to yourself.
Okay, and then the last one: when someone comes into Juma and there's a sister that greets you while Juma is going on, what should you do?
Ignore her. Okay. If someone says salam to you while Juma is going on, ignore them. Okay. People do the most annoying soul. Chalkboard scratchingly annoying of horrible and annoying things in Jummah, and you just gotta just look at the Qibla and just take solace from the fact that nobody lives in this world forever. All of us will one day, the angel of death will come to us and allow us to leave, and inshallah we'll never see any of this people on their iPhone again, people saying salam to us again, dudes like doing weird stuff. After that day, inshallah, Allah will protect us. We never have to see any of that again, inshallah. Yeah. Any questions, brothers? Yeah.
The issue about Jummah, it's usually in the Jummah, it's usually the English part, and then after that, there's all in Arabia.
Mm-hmm.
So is the Arabia...
The two khutbas that are delivered from the mimbar after the second adhan, that's the part you have to that you have to observe quietness like you observe in the prayer. The talk from beforehand, there's more leeway. Really, you should show respect at that time as well, but it's not haram, it's not haram off the bat to say wa alaikum salam or whatever at that time. Unless you're being unless the person talking is like an actual scholar, and you're just being something that would be almost universally considered rude, that would be haram, but to disrespect one of the ulama for no reason. But if someone says salam and you could say wa alaykum salam discreetly during the bayan, that's fine. Yeah.
It's the best salam to send on the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam.
What's the best salam to send on the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam? I guess there's some discussion regarding it. There are a number of different riwayat that come in the books of hadith, but maybe the mashayikh that we sat with, they consider what they call the salat Ibrahimiyya. Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ala ali Muhammadin kama sallaita ala Ibrahim wa ala ali Ibrahim innaka hamidun majid. Allahumma barik ala Muhammadin wa ala ali Muhammadin kama barakta ala Ibrahim wa ala ali Ibrahim innaka hamidun majid. Allah knows best. The question may be a bit beyond my pay grade. The only reason I mentioned this one is because it's the one that comes through the most rigorously authenticated channels. Although other ones are narrated, Sahih narrated as well.
Can you say Sayyidina?
Yeah, so this is an issue that some people, as a custom, they say Sayyidina Muhammad, Allahumma salli ala Sayyidina Muhammad. This is actually my habit as well. It's all right. So from the fuqaha point of view, I think that there's some, it's all right. But from the muhaddith point of view, it's not transmitted like the other one is transmitted. It's one of those things, you say Muhammad, when the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam's name is said, you say Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. But there's some almost awkward times that you shouldn't say it, which is what? وَمَا مُحَمَّدٌ أَبَا أَحَدٍ مِنْ رِجَالَكُمْ. When you're reading the Qur'an, for example, then you don't, there are some people who do, but that's a very weak opinion. You may say the name of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam in ayah during the salat, and you don't have time to say Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Why? Because it's the kalam of Allah Ta'ala. If you're reciting, you're going to enter other words in it that don't belong to it. And if the muqtadi recites or says it while you're reciting, then they're showing disrespect to the speech of Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala. So, yeah, that's a time that maybe you wouldn't even say it at all. Yeah, in salat, if the name of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam comes in a time that's other than the prayer, yeah, no, but yeah,
Sayyidina.
You can, but yeah, in the fuqaha don't have the majority of the fuqaha don't have a problem with it if it's said out of respect. The muhaddithin they prefer not to because they say that it's not transmitted. Yeah. So I think with something like that, that's like I want to say there's a mild preference not to say it, but I say it myself. And I think the reason the ulama don't have a problem saying it yourself because it's part of adab with some people that you don't refer to people like by their names directly, but you refer by a title. But from a transmission point of view, I think if Maulana Bilal was here, we can ask him. But I have a feeling if he was here, he would say I have a mild preference not to say it. Barakallahu fikum.